Would you be rich or poor? If someone were to give you 10 cents for every kind word you spoke and collect 5 cents for every unkind word, would you be rich or poor? This is Instant Inspiration with Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing. Our topic of Instant Inspiration today is, would you be rich or poor? Would you be rich or poor if someone were to pay 10 cents for every kind word you spoke and collect from you 5 cents for every unkind word they heard you speak? Now, just think about that. Are we accustomed to saying unkind things or kind things? Are we accustomed to saying happy things to each other or unhappy things? Oh, it's true we say happy things now and then. And it's true we say unkind things. But are we really aware of how unkind we are? If we were to have a little check mark here, and we were a little fly on the wall, and we were listening to everything that was said without judging, and just taking it factually, was that a kind thing or was that an unkind thing? Was kind or unkind? Kind, 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 unkind. Unkind, 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 kind, kind, unkind, 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 kind, kind. You know, we do things spontaneously and we do things self-righteously, which is not what we really want to do. For instance, if someone said to you, "My, you are a special person," would you say, "Oh, come on, get off it. You're just trying to make a statement about me because you want to get to me. Unkind." And they say, "No, I'm making a statement to you because that's how I see you. I see you as a very lovely person." "Oh, come on, get off it. I know what you're after." "Well, what is it you think I'm after?" "You're after making me feel better." "Well, yes, that's true too. I'm after making you feel better, but I'm after making you feel better by telling you nice things about you." "Oh, come on now. You haven't said something nice about me for months. Now all of a sudden you start saying nice things about me. What's the matter? Is there a fly on the wall checking you out to see how many nice things you say, and you're trying to win points, you know?" No. I have read a book that said it is better to say nice things about people or to say nothing at all. And I like to talk, so I'm going to say nice things. Now, if you don't want the nice things, that's okay. I'm still going to say them. But of course, you see, every time you refuse a nice thing, you're being unkind. Every time you refuse someone overture of saying that you're a nice person or saying that they're having fun in your presence, you're being unkind. Every time you tell another person, "You got an ulterior motive, I know you're doing this for some bad reason, I know that," that's an unkind thing. Now, if someone says, "Oh, Sylvia, your hair is just like liquid gold. It is so gentle to the touch. It feels so wonderful." And you say, "Thank you. It makes me feel good when you touch it." Kind, kind. And then somebody said, "You know, Sylvia, that dress you had on last night, you just were a knockout. Every person in the entire barn dance couldn't keep their eyes off of you." "What?" Incredulous, but not negative. "What? They couldn't keep their eyes off me?" "Nope. They thought you were just gorgeous. They thought you had that motherly figure about you, that you had this gentleness about you, that you were just having a great time." Now, you see, negative, you're objecting to the motherly. Now, is there anything wrong with being a mother? And maybe your interpretation of what motherly is a negative thing. Now, would you say that if someone says to Ellen, "You're such a motherly person," what do you think they would be meaning about that? They would be meaning that Ellen is a caring, sensitive, sharing person who is always looking out for everybody, including herself, to make their life a little happier. If I drop something, who's the first to pick it up? You know, if I say something, I need to know a word, who's the first to feed it in? You know, Ilse, remember? Mm-hmm. And would you call her a motherly woman?
Mm-hmm.
No, hardly. But yet, she was the first to feed in words. She was the first to say things. She didn't do things. She didn't do things. She wasn't one to pick up something that you dropped or something like that. She'd say, oh, you dropped it. Well, pick it up yourself. Look, yeah. But if you say, oh, you dropped a syllable, she'd pick it up for you, you know. And but that's just where we are. Now, we don't say that's negative about Ilse. We just say that's where she is. We don't say, and this is that. We don't say that, and I didn't make many corrections on there. We don't say any of those things. We just apply ourselves in a wonderful way to the positive things that go on in the world. Now, let's just take another illustration here, which is a toughie illustration. Say you send your kid to school. And how many times does the teacher in school say something nice about the kids? Well, a good teacher is constantly saying nice things about the kids, you know? A poor teacher that has a very unhappy class, that has a very, unruly class, that was always making trouble, that's because the teacher never thinks to say something nice about them, you know? And if the teacher were constantly saying, oh, Mary Jane, you look beautiful. You combed your hair so lovely. She hadn't combed for a long time. You combed your hair so lovely. It looks just great. And Paula, is that a new dress you have? You know, going around the room. And the kids just love her. When it comes time to teach, they just listen with all their heart because, that's my teacher. That's my wonderful teacher, you know. And when she sees the boys, she said, John, you scuffed your shoes. Were you kicking stones on your way to school today? How far did you kick them? Did you give them a real walking good kick and it go 20 feet? Well, you just keep practicing. I do suggest that you tell your mom that she should buy you steel-toed shoes, though, because it'd be a lot easier to kick with steel-toed shoes. You know what steel-toed shoes are? And that'll stand up a lot better. But what's that kid going to do? That's my teacher. She understands me. She knows that kicking stones is an important thing for a boy to do, you know. It's an important thing for me to do, at least, you know. And she goes to each kid and responds to them. All she has to do is, like, be a Sherlock Holmes. She looks at the kid and sees their clothing, sees where it's dirty, sees where it's worn out. Been sliding down the hill on your pants lately, huh? I can see, you know, your underwear shining through there, you know, or none, you know. And she recognizes these things, not negative, but in a very positive way. Did you have fun? Now, you know what I always do? When I go sliding down the hill and I don't have anything to slide on, I find a piece of cardboard someplace, or I find a piece of box, or I find an old cloth or an old rag, you know, and I put that underneath me. And, you know, there's always something lying around that you can slide down the hill on. But sliding down the hill, that's great fun. You know, that is really good. Now, again, those children will remember that teacher forever. I had a teacher like that. Her name was Miss Klockner. Never forget her. She taught us about dinosaurs, and she taught us how wonderful we were. She's a fifth grade teacher. And we were on the south side of the school. We were on the south side of the school, on the west of the south side of the school. And we had the corner classroom. And on this wall, there was no windows, but on the south side, there were windows. And she had that always set up with dinosaurs. And her classroom, we could not wait to get into it. We were so eager because every day she'd have a new setup of dinosaurs. And then she'd have us have one dinosaur. If there are 30 kids in the class, we had 30 dinosaurs. Each kid got a dinosaur, not to keep, but to have for the day. And at the end of the day, we were supposed to know all about our dinosaur, and then we could take him home and bring him back the next day. But then the next day we had to report on what that dinosaur was all about and how to spell his name. And Tyrannosaurus rex and Brontosaurus and the names of some of those fellows are pretty long, you know. But we loved it. And when we came to school the next day, we were all fired up. You know, my mama said, you know, and we had the encyclopedia out, and we were looking here, and my dad, he even called his friend, who knows all about dinosaurs, to find out about my Brontosaurus, you know, what the Brontosaurus does. It's a herbivore. You know, it eats just the grains and the leaves of the tree. And then the Tyrannosaurus rex, that's one, it's a flesh eater, you know, and it eats other dinosaurs and stuff. And man, did we have a good time. Now, if we were a fly in the wall of that teacher's class, we would find that teacher A number one. We would find the kids in the class A number one. Because each one of the kids was trying to compete with the teacher for saying nice things about the other kids. The teacher would go up and Johnny would say to Sally, "Oh, Sally, you stink." And the teacher would say, "Oh, does she have a special perfume on? What kind of perfume do you have, Sally?" "I haven't got a perfume on. I didn't do my bathroom right." "Well, Sally, why don't you take a few minutes now and go out and do your bathroom right, and then come back." And Johnny, sometimes everybody doesn't do their bathroom right. And, you know, and when we go to the bathroom, we want to always wipe ourselves two or three times with the paper. And if it doesn't work, then we dampen it and we wipe ourselves. But we always want to have a clean bottom. And you see, when you say it in front of the whole class, and you do it in front of the whole class, Sally doesn't feel bad, nor anybody else doesn't feel bad. And then you say to the children, "Now, if any of you have a bad bottom, where it feels hurtful or it feels sore, it's because you haven't been washing it nicely and cleanly after you do your duty." Now, just as an example, now, how many in the class have ever had a bottom that hurts at times? And they would raise their hands, you see? And yes, and now, do you know that it's just a matter of washing yourself good after you're done? And hey, that's perfectly okay. There's nothing secret or private about that. That's just a matter of good hygiene. And, you know, the whole kids, in a nice way, they learned good hygiene. And oh, I tell you, I worship Miss Klockner. She was wonderful. She was at least 100 years old if she was 22, you know. But she was wonderful. And she probably was more than 22. She probably was about 28. But just a really super teacher. But always looking for the positive. Always, would you be rich or poor if someone were to pay you 10 cents for every kind word you spoke and 5 cents taken from you for every unkind word? I assure you, Miss Klockner, she was wealthy. And she was. She's a very rich lady. She always wore very beautiful clothing to school. She always looked sharp, and she always had someone drive her home. Some one of the school teachers or some friend would come by, always at school ending time, to drive her home. And we would all stand and watch from the playground as she got her ride home, and we'd say, "I wonder what his name is, you know." And then one time a girl stopped by to pick her up, and we asked her the next day, we said, "What did that girl pick you up for?" "We went out and played tennis." "Oh, how wonderful, you know. You can play tennis?" And so then she made a class of playing tennis. She taught us all how to play tennis, all the proper procedures for and the terms that are used in playing tennis. And we loved her because she was so positive. She always had something. She could take the most negative connotation that anyone could make and turn it around into a very loving gesture. I tell you, she was a wealthy lady. And whether she ever had money for her kindness, I know she did. But if she ever had money, she would have been a super wealthy lady. And she was. Would you be rich or poor if someone were to pay you 10 cents for every kind word you spoke and take from you 5 cents for every unkind word you uttered? Think about it and take charge of yourself, because you're a pretty wonderful person. And just remember, Miss Klockner is watching you, and she's always there to say something nice or don't say anything at all. I love you.